Well, good morning. I hope your first breakout session was fun and you enjoyed that. And welcome to Parenting 101. My name's David. This is Robin. And just real quick, kind of the goal for us today is to just kind of go through some things that we've done and realized as we have parented our kids. And we actually have our kids here. And we have our kids here strategically, because we're going to talk hopefully for about 20 to 25 minutes, just go through some slides, and then we're going to call our kids up, and Robin will go through a picture here in a minute of who our kids are, and we'll introduce them. But our kids will come up, and then you can ask any question you want to Robin and me or to our kids, and you're free to, and we have not instructed them how to say anything. They really haven't seen our presentation and what we're going to share. They've lived it, and so they'll be able to say, that's really not how it happened in our house, even though that may be what we think it did. So we've told them to be as honest with you all as we can. And so let me pray for us real quick, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you for just the gift of today and the opportunity to be at a conference talking about parenting. Father, thank you for just the gift of being parents and what that looks like and what that is. And Father, the responsibility that we have and the joy that that responsibility is and not a burden. And so thank you for each parent in here, for each child that is represented by the parent in here. And Father, I pray that our time is fulfilling and uplifting. But Father, that it is helpful and practical, not for tips and tricks, but Father, that it points to your word and it points to the responsibility that we have. And Father, if there's anything that Robin and I say, or when our kids come up and say, that is not rooted biblically or is not helpful, we pray that it's just like the dross that falls to the ground and it is not remembered. And Father, that what is remembered is the truth that's found in your word. And so Father, we love you and we're grateful for you. In your son's name, amen.
So as David said, we're David and Robin Zena. This is our family. We have been married 21 years, and we have been at Watermark about 17. So this is our family. We have Paige. She's 19. She's in the pink. Molly is 16 in the blue and green, and Drew is 14, our only son. So we're in the teenage years. So y'all can pray for us. But we are a busy family. We enjoy traveling together. We enjoy outdoor adventure. We enjoy sports. We enjoy eating good barbecue, and we enjoy spending time together. And as I thought about our talk for parenting, it made me think about the surfing lessons that we took when we were on this trip to Hawaii, that it was kind of like parenting, that it was extremely tiring. Our arms were very tired from having to paddle out to catch the waves. And oftentimes, we would get up on our first try, or at least our kids did. We struggled. But sometimes you get up on your first try and you're able to ride the waves, and then sometimes you just have a wipeout, and that's a little bit like parenting. But parenting is a privilege, and as Chris said last night, our children are gifts.
I've got this, sorry.
You're right.
And so just we're going to go through three things to know. And so just that idea of, hey, we want you to know your role. We want to just talk about the role that is expected of parents. We want you to know your kids. Excuse me. And we want you to know and remember that it's their life and who they are and who they were created to be in God's image. And so Robin and I don't want to sit up here and make you think, hey, we are the experts and we have all the answers. We're basically just one beggar telling another beggar where to go for food and how we have had the opportunity to love and care for our kids. We're sharing some things that have helped us.
So the first one is know your role. And we took that from 1 Timothy 5:8. And that says that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So our care for our kids begins at the beginning of life. We have newborns, toddlers, school age, preteen, teenagers, and then we launch them into adulthood. And at each stage, that care looks different. We're meeting physical needs. We're meeting mental, emotional, and spiritual needs as they walk through each stage of life.
And the next thing is just that you are a discipler of your kids. And so Deuteronomy 6:6-9, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to just share some words that when you think about discipleship, when you think about being a discipler of your kids, what we need to remember is that it is a mindset, it's not a program. And you can use programs to help you disciple your kids, but it's a mindset that you live with that comes out of Deuteronomy 6. And the first thing is that these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Before you can disciple your kids in what it looks like to be a follower of Christ and what it looks like to love like Christ, is that it's got to be on your heart. If it's not on your heart, it's not going to be, you're going to model something differently that is going to lead your kids somewhere else. And the next is that you want to impress them on your children and talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. These are, this represents that it is a daily activity. It's a daily part of your life. It's daily a part of what you do and how you live your life.
The next is know your role.
Oops, sorry. Yeah, this is part of know your role.
I know.
Oh, am I doing that one or are you doing that one?
You are.
Sorry. Robin and I also aren't professionals, teachers. We don't do this often. But the next one on know your role is that you're a consultant, especially after they launch. And Proverbs 22:6 just says, this version says, start your children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And just the idea that, hey, your role as you're caring for your kids is going to look differently throughout their life. When they're younger, it's physical needs. When they're going into school, you're moving into more of the the intellectual, emotional needs your kids have. But then when your kids leave, and when they become 18 and go off, whether they're going to college, going out into the work world, going to a trade school, they are, your role changes to be more of a consultant and more of a someone that helps guide your kids.
And you've probably heard the term lawnmower mom or lawnmower parent or helicopter parent. Have y'all heard that term before? So we have to be really careful that we don't do that. And I think moms sometimes are the biggest culprits of that we can sometimes come in and want to save our children, or we want to orchestrate the pathway for them to make it easier for them. And that's really doing our kids a disservice, that we need to let them have natural consequences sometimes in their failures or in their mistakes, because the Lord is going to use that for them to grow. And yeah. I often have to be reminded of that by David. I've done that before, and I think moms or dads, if you're the one in your family that does that or tends to do that, to be open to correction from your spouse or from your community group when they come along and say, I think you might be trying to take the natural consequence away from your child. Be open to hear that. Sometimes I think we can be critical of someone pointing that out to us, but it really is for our own benefit as well as our kids.
Yes. Next, we want to move to just knowing your kids. And what you want to know is they are God's, they are not yours. Psalm 24:1, excuse me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And just that idea that these kids are God's kids. And you get the opportunity to be their parent and to love and serve them in that way. And in Psalm 139:13-14, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That idea that God is our creator and God is the creator of our kids, and that opportunity. And an example of this, and by the way, Molly, our middle daughter, gave me permission that I could share this. She came out of the womb saying, what, Robin?
I do it myself.
And so she had what some would refer to as a stubborn persistence. But Robin and I also recognize, hey, that could be an amazing gift that God has given in her. And a couple of examples of a, you know, of what we mean by that are we're at Fuddruckers, which I don't even know if Fuddruckers is around. They had a arcade area, and Molly came up and said, "Dad, can I have a dollar? I want to play games." And I was like, "No." Then she came up 5 minutes later, "Dad, can I have four quarters?" And I was like, "No, you can't have four quarters." About a minute later, she came up and said, "Dad, can I have your wallet?" And so just this idea that God has born in her, just this idea of like, hey, a never give up attitude, if you will, or a, like I said, a stubborn persistence, that is an amazing gift that God can use in her life. And our responsibility is to steward and parent her in a way that she understands that and she sees that.
So the next one is, it's okay to parent your kids differently. And that means, one, you can parent each of your own kids differently within your family, and also that you might parent your kids differently than your friends parent their kids, and that is okay. Everybody is going to parent each of their children differently based on their personalities and based on their needs. Each of our kids is parented differently, and they probably will tell you that. And we had to learn what was our kids' currency. And I'll be interested to see what they will say later their own currency was. But what I mean by that is when we would discipline our children, we had to learn what was it that made a difference to them that was taken away. It might have been a phone. It might have been a privilege of going to someone's house. It might have been Xbox. It was all different things that our kids still, to this day, that's their currency of what can we use to parent and discipline them.
And just the scripture with that is Ephesians 6:4, about not fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. And so there are times that if we tried to parent our three kids the same, we were going to exasperate them. And if because they all, as Robin said, they have different ways to, what do you say, Andrew?
Next slide.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Helpful. That we can, if we were doing it the same, each one. Now, there's some that there's some things that may be the same, but the majority of times we're gonna look at it differently depending upon the child.
I think the biggest thing too is just be consistent, consistently discipline, consistently be the parent. We read when we were new parents to have resolve. Like if your kids do something 99 times, have the resolve to 100 to help them understand their themselves.
Yeah, because the goal is to shepherd their hearts and to shepherd their hearts to understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and to point to Jesus. And that is exactly why what their struggle is or what they're going through is exactly why Christ came to save us from our sins.
So the next one is spend as much time as possible with your kids. And that's Psalm 128:3. We heard many years ago at Pine Cove Family Camp that the days are long, but the years go by fast. And I can definitely attest to that, that it seems like yesterday we had three young children, and now we have three teenagers, and we've already launched one into college. And it goes by fast. So spend time with your kids. Spend time as a family when your kids are young. You might feel like you're in survival mode, and oftentimes you are, but it does go by fast. Some examples of things that we have done as a family. When we were little, we had dance parties. When the kids were little, we had dance parties around the coffee table in the living room. David would take the kids to breakfast. He'd have a daddy-daughter date or a dad-son date on the way to school where he would take them separately and do things with them on the way to school. We also made the commitment early to do family camp. We will actually go this coming summer. It will be our 17th summer to go to family camp. But just making that commitment to do things consistently and to spend time together to build those foundations into our kids. We went on many camping trips. Now I think our kids Well, the girls at least will say, camping is probably better at a hotel. And now that our kids are older, we do forced family fun nights because they are sometimes forced. And even last Christmas, I made our kids go sit on Santa's lap to get one final picture while they were still at home. So, but just spend time with your kids. Spend time getting to know them. Spend time doing the things they enjoy. Now, my girls like to shop. So I'll say, do you want to go to the mall with me? One does not like to get pedicures. One does. Let's go get our nails done. Or I'll give you money to go get your nails done. So just spending time together, I think, is really important as I look back on having older kids.
So now moving on to, we just want to be reminded that it's their life. And so part of that is letting them fail under your roof. And Galatians 6, 1 and 2 just say, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so, if your kids have not left for college yet, I would pray for them to be caught in their sin under your roof. And this doesn't have to be a gross sin, but it could be that, you know, you think that, oh, I would, that your kids may think they'd be devastated for. Whatever it is, whatever sin they're in, you would love for them to be caught under your roof, because then you can help shepherd them of what restoration looks like, what repentance looks like, and what relying on Jesus looks like. And that just because we sin does not separate the love that Robin and I have for our kids or the love that the Lord has for our kids. And it is... It's hard to do sometimes, but one of the things that Robin and I just always try to remember is, hey, we always, if our kids come and say they want to tell us something, the first thing we want them to hear out of our mouth is how much we love them. And thank you for sharing with us. We know that was hard. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to be immune from any consequence. That doesn't mean that it's going to make it easier, but it does remind them that of utmost importance that we love and care for them and that we're there for them. Because ideally, we want to help them see what repentance looks like in their own life. And that sometimes relies on us being allowing ourselves to be known and allowing ourselves to share our mistakes, both our past and present mistakes. And we fail our kids often. And we go back and ask for forgiveness, and we identify the ways that we failed them, whether it was hurtful language, whether it was responding in anger, whether it was being negligent to understand what they were going through. Whatever it is, we want to go back and we want to own what it is that we've done to hurt them in ways that we've sinned against them, because we are not immune to sin in our own lives. And I give in to anger. And I can get frustrated, and my tone can get harsh. And I don't want them to leave remembering the harshness. I want them to remember living and hearing forgiveness that is asked for.
So the next one under knowing it's your life, it's their life, is just making it safe to talk to you. And that's kind of what David already said, just making sure that they know that when they mess up, that they can come to you. I recently saw a quote that said, I never want my kids to mess up and think my mom's going to kill me. I want their first thought to be, I need to call my mom. And we want that to be the case for them, is that they are always... no matter what, they can come to us, and that it is safe to tell us, be it a sin, be it a hurt, whatever it is, that we have an open connection, an open communication with them. And I was raised in a family where we did not do that. There was never, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? And when we had kids, we wanted to make sure that that was an important aspect of that we can go and we can ask for forgiveness from them and they can do the same. And it's done frequently in our home.
Well, Proverbs 10:9, just whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And just this idea that you want it to be a safe place to talk to you, because remember, what we're modeling is what it looks like for confession to be to the Lord. And so if your home is a hard place for them to come tell you things, you need to understand it's going to be hard for them to go to the Lord to confess their sin. And so you want to create it to be a safe place so they know that, hey, confession is a natural part of walking through repentance of whatever that is. And if it's a hard place in your home to talk to you, it's going to be hard for them to understand how easy it is for them to talk to the Lord and what Christ did for them and opening up that pathway for us to the Lord. And so, the final thing we just want to share with you is that we kind of gave a bonus, if you will, and we want to just share that your job is to prepare them to leave. Don't permit them to cleave. And Genesis 2:24 says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And then 3 John 4 just says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And this idea that, hey, we are raising adults, okay? Whatever age your kids are, you are raising them to be future adults and to leave your home and to live their life, to honor the Lord, to use the gifts that God has given them. And that's our job. And we don't want to prepare it for a place for them to cleave to our home.
So be a parent, not a friend. I know that's really hard. You'll have plenty of time to be a friend later, but be their parent now. They actually want you to be their parent. Have specific boundaries. Be consistent. This week just went to dinner with some college friends, and one of the girls, she's never married, and she made the comment to the rest of us, what a blessing it is that all of your children know the Lord. And it didn't sink in for a couple days, and I'm like, yeah, that is a blessing that our kids know the Lord. But then I took it one step further. Even if they didn't know the Lord, we would continue to love them and shepherd them and guide them to the Lord, because we do not know when their day, Lord willing, that they would come to know Jesus, because that is the ultimate goal, that our kids turn their hearts to their Savior. So,
all right. Now we're going to call our kids up. So Paige, Molly, and Drew, why don't you come up? And you all be thinking about questions you may want to ask them. I'll ask them one to get us started. And then, first I'll let them introduce themselves. And then I'll ask a question. So,
hi, I'm Paige. I'm Molly.
I'm Drew.
So when Drew was 3, I didn't know what he was going to say, because when he was 3, he used to introduce himself as, I'm Superman. So, was it Spider-Man? Yeah, tell your age.
I'm 19. I'm 16.
I'm 14.
I'm a freshman at Baylor. I'm a junior at Prestonwood.
I'm an 8th grader at Prestonwood.
All right, so from what you heard us share, what's one thing that resonated with you that's like, yes, I saw that in my parents?
I think when y'all were talking about just like being someone who they can call like after, like I call y'all all the time and like tell you things y'all probably don't even really need to know about, but like, why not tell you about a random lunch date I got with someone? Like, I think they've just made themselves very like much people I can call and tell them anything. And also, like, college can be a very lonely time at seasons, and like, they've always been people who like can encourage me in truth and like remind me that I'm not alone.
You want to go first?
Whenever like I go to my dad, he always says I love you first if it's something like that I did that wasn't Christ-like.
Definitely making time with us. Like, they do a really good job at like planning things to where we can like spend time with each other and get to know each other better.
That's great. Any questions?
What is something that happened more than 2 years ago
Ooh, that's a good question. What is something that happened 2 years ago that you remember, and why do you remember it?
In fifth grade, on Sunday night specifically, I could never fall asleep, and I think it was just because I was scared of school. But every night, like, that I would go to my parents, they would always say the same thing, like, you'll always fall asleep. But then my dad would also just come lay on my floor and sleep there for hours, which, like, then I didn't realize how, like, selfless that was. But, like, you don't get much sleep. And so it was just, like, something that, like, has always stuck with me, and, like, I'm reminded of it a lot.
Is there something you remember from 2 years ago, and why do you remember it? That happened.
I'll go. Okay. Okay. I have no idea what this fight was over, but it was definitely like me and one of us was fighting with each other, and my mom. We were about to like go see our cousins who don't know the Lord, and so I just remember her saying like, y'all could be their only like glimpse of Jesus that they see, and just that reminder of being like, okay, I need to be the light to everyone because I have no idea like what they're going through or what they might be experiencing like on their own.
In like fifth grade, I was like messing up in class and doing bad things, and my dad was like, just walked me through that and how I shouldn't do that.
With where you are kind of at your stage in life, what do you see that your parents did that you see and make that maybe friends' parents didn't do? And have you been able to show up in your friends' lives differently because of that?
Okay, my parents, they always, every single night, just come and say goodnight, and, like, I think that, like, that's such a small thing, but a lot of my parents' friends don't do that, and so, like, sometimes I'll be on FaceTime with my friends, like, when my parents come up, and they'll be like, oh, imagine that, like, my parents don't ever do that, and so it's, like, kind of, like, okay, I need to love on those because I have no idea, like, what their family life is like, and I have, like, had a good experience, I guess, if that makes sense, but, yeah.
I don't think you realize the little things that to us might be like, oh, I got to go upstairs and say goodnight to everybody. But to hear them say that is so sweet that it's just a little thing to be able to give them an encouragement or give them a kiss goodnight. And just, it's really sweet to hear that, the little things.
I think a big thing is just like, a lot of people don't feel comfortable, like, telling their parents things they've struggled with, and that's honestly never been something I've been scared to do. Like, I've walked through a lot of, like, anxious seasons, and, like, some of my friends, like, the first people they go to are their friends, but the first people I would always turn to are my parents. And so I think they just, like, made it very clear, like, telling us they love us and, like, want to walk through those seasons with us and not, like, immediately trying to fix the situation.
Sitting around the table at dinner. Because a lot of my friends don't do that, and they just get their food and go to a TV. But we spend time with each other and, like, ask how our day was and stuff.
Okay, so this is for, I guess, both of y'all. How did your parents cultivate friendship between y'all? And then how do y'all feel like you cultivated friendship between your children so that they're not just siblings? And I get it, siblings fight, but like true lasting friendship, because even just watching from back here, you can see that your children are friends, and that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, let's let them stay so we don't influence the question. Okay. Influence the answer. We'll answer second or after them.
Well, I think they've always like reminded us like sometimes we're only going to have each other. They've done a good job of, like, me and my sister especially. We went through a pretty rough season of arguing, like, every single day. And they reminded us, like, we need to be, what's the word, like, persistent in each other's lives, not just, like, seeing each other, like, throughout, like, the hallways in our class or in our house, but like now that she's gone to college, Paige has gone to college, like it's been cool to see like our friendship like actually has lasted. And I think like this is kind of a depressing quote, but a quote that like I've heard is like, your parents leave you too early, your spouses come too late, but your siblings are like gonna be with you for forever. So, or not forever, but like for a majority of your life, Lord willing. So yeah.
I would say just like kind of like Molly was saying, just reminding us that like we do have each other, and like normally our fights would be because we do love each other, and like it's easiest to fight with the people you love the most. And like I think just reminding us that like we're on the same team, but also we would do like game nights when we were younger and just like had like time that we would like spend together and like not just like talking but like doing fun things together and like making it to where we wanted to be friends and it didn't feel like we were forced to be friends, if that makes sense.
If you don't have anything, Robin has something. Your mom has something. Yeah.
It's funny. That's exactly what I was going to say is that Molly said it much more eloquently with the quote about your siblings are the ones who are with you for the majority of the time. That your parents eventually leave you and your spouse comes later if you get married. And so just that you guys need to know that you have each other. And I think we also came from families that we didn't have that, and we wanted that to be a legacy that we passed on to our kids, that they would want to go on vacation together, they would want to spend time together, they would want to be together, and that's really important. And I did not have a sister, so the girl drama was really hard for me as their mom, but I think we're good.
Yeah, and I would say don't underestimate the value of fun. Excuse me. The value of fun in your family goes a long way, and you have an opportunity then as you're sitting around the table. We'll sit around the table. We will talk about anything, and so there's times one of them asked a question, the other two, like, don't ask that question. They don't want to know the answer, and sometimes it revolves around our intimacy. And so, well, to give them an idea of what they're talking about, But we're not afraid to talk about it. We're not afraid to laugh. But the reality is, you know, going back to sharing your story, we're also not afraid to share our failures. And a lot of times as a parent, your fear of what happens to your kids comes from what happened to you as a child, okay? And we talked about this in our last breakout in 1 John, that perfect love casts out fear, that we've got to examine our heart when we're feeling the fear of what could happen to our kids. And we want to make sure that that's not coming from a place of unhealth and something that, hey, we're projecting onto our kids. And they need to experience life. And so, Paige, can I share the story about you forgetting your rubber bands on? I mean, just something that was hard for Paige at a time is now a really fun family memory. We were going on vacation. Paige was 13 at the time. She had braces. And if we could all remember when we're 13, and Drew knows right now, he can't wait to get his braces off. We couldn't wait. And she left her rubber bands at home to whatever the rubber bands do. I can't remember what they do, but they move the teeth. And that's kind of the final step. Well, she left them at home. And so did you say you freak out? She freaked out. Like, she had a 13-year-old moment. And it was an opportunity for us to parent her. And so what was so fun about that we laugh about is we made Paige then call every orthodontist close to where we were on vacation and ask if they had the bands. And the first time she called, it was like she was talking it, like when you listen to your iPod and it's on like 3x speed. That's what it sounded like when Paige was on the phone. And then by the end, Paige and I got the opportunity to walk into an orthodontist because we just happened to eat lunch around the corner from one. We walked in. Paige sat there and asked the lady if they had any, and by God's grace, they did. But just to watch the compassion on that lady's heart for Paige. But Paige will say, hey, that was an influential moment in her life. But now it's one of those family memories that it's just fun to laugh and talk about. And so being able to share your story, being able to laugh when it's like, okay, did you need to freak out about it? No. And it's just a fun family memory. So don't underestimate the value of fun. You want to say? Is there one back? Oh, one back there. You're going to say something?
So you have three teenagers.
Yes.
And you're of a different generation.
And so I'm imagining that you didn't use a smartphone very much longer than your 19-year-old.
Correct.
So how did you personally handle your cell phone use and your growth on tablets and computers versus what's going on now with your 14 and your 16-year-old?
Well, why don't you start? And then, because the question was directed towards us, how we handled that.
Yes, we are of a different generation, which our kids remind us frequently that we are from a different generation. And it's a challenge. It is a big challenge to how to parent that, how to make the decision of when is it appropriate to allow your child to get a phone. And in our house, it was when they turned 13, they had the opportunity to learn some scripture as it would apply to having a smartphone and the responsibility that comes with having that now. And they can memorize those verses and then get their phone. After a discussion about why we
chose those verses for them.
Chose those verses specifically for them. They each have been on a different path for that. And Drew, who is 14, has now been given a timetable of when he has to have his done because he has not earned his yet. But it is very challenging. We slowly gave them a phone. We slowly gave them social media. Some of them still don't have all the things that their friends do. But it really was a privilege. And if they were responsible enough to receive that social media, and that we can't be afraid to take some of that away if they abuse that, or if they make choices that are not what Team Xena would do. So, yeah. Do you want
to? Well, I'll add, the thing I would add to that for, and then we'll let the kids answer, is that when we're around the dinner table, we don't have our phones around, and we're not distracted by our phones so that we're attentive and we're available. And then for me specifically, what I try and do is just leave my phone in one area that I don't go by after I get home, and then try and be engaged as possible with our kids and with Robin until there's an opportunity for me if I need to check anything for work or check any messages that I may have received, just so that I am fully there. Because I think we all know if it's why our phones are upside down now. If you get something, it distracts you. And if you, if that distraction happens, it's going to take you off of what your intent of the time is. And so we're trying to model that as best we can. We don't do it perfectly. And we also make fun of each other for who has the longest screen time when Apple tells you what your screen time is every week.
And with social media and stuff, like, we weren't just, like, given it. Like, I had to make a list of reasons I wanted each thing and, like, present that to my parents and explain why they were things that I like felt like I needed at the time. And looking back, like, I didn't need social media at all, but it was just something my friends had, and so I saw how like fun it looked and like had to make a list of reasons I thought I should have it. And then also like with comparing screen times and like who had the highest one, it made me realize like how much I was on my phone. And like that is, like, I didn't even remember, like, the 4 hours I was on it. I didn't remember anything that I was doing. And, like, I remember, like, things I talk about with my family or, like, friends even. And I don't remember, like, what I'm scrolling through on Instagram. And so I think that was just, like, a good, like, conscious reminder of, like, okay, I do not need to be on my phone that much.
I mean, it was a little bit easier for me to get Instagram because I'm the middle child, but so it was pretty easy. But but I still don't. I mean, I don't remember when I got Snapchat, but it was definitely harder to get that. But TikTok, I still don't have, and I think it's just like they're trying to match the timeline that they gave it to Paige, I guess, but. it's okay. Thanksgiving. So, but I remember one time we were looking at our screen times. I don't know why we do this a lot, but I remember my dad said, like, I try and be in the Bible as much as I'm on my phone. And I was like, whoa, I never thought of it like that. But, I mean, I think it would cut down, like, screen time a lot if you're like, okay, wait, I could really actually be, like, reading the Bible and stuff that I'm not, like, that's going to, like, help me eternally and not just, like, in the moment. So, yeah.
I don't know if the girls want to answer this, just how we also processed modesty as they got to be teenagers, and how we looked at just swimsuits and really just modesty, but the swimsuits was a big topic. And if there's anything about the way we parented y'all in that frustrated you.
Like, what was frustrating about the way we parented around modesty? Drew, you can share, hey, what's frustrating about being parented by us? It's okay to answer that. We know. It's going to.
Small group leaders out there.
Yeah.
I think in the moment, like, when the discussion of, like, swimsuits came up and, like, girls started to not be wearing one pieces anymore, and, like, my parents were like, nope, you're still wearing one pieces. I was very upset and angry. I was like, my friends are all doing this and y'all are doing this. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And, like, looking back, I am glad that, like, that was a rule set in place. And, like, over time, like, the rules about swimsuits have changed and it's, like, been more what's up to us. But I think I'm more conscious of, like, what I am wearing in, like, a healthy way of, like, okay, like, is this honoring to the Lord, or is it is it just gonna be something of the world that, like, everyone, like, I want because everyone else is wearing it? And, like, I feel like compared to other people, like, I just would rather be more covered than some people my age would. And I think that is partly of the way I was parented, and, like, they really did want us to, like, wear modest clothes. So,
yeah, I was really mad at my dad, but it's okay. We're still working through it, I think. But yeah, so I don't even know any advice on that because I'm still in it. So,
hey,
I had no rules. I could just go out with my shirt off.
I would say just a word of advice to dads out there with girls, that the world has changed to where bathing suits were either called one pieces or they were called bikinis, and then the world changed to calling them two pieces. And so Robin, I remember when we were having this, Robin got to allowing them to have two pieces sooner than I did, and I remember Robin going, hey, Paige and I are going to go look at two pieces. I was like, well, hey, I trust you if you think it's great. And she sent me a picture, and I just sent back, let's call that what it is. That's a bikini. That's not a two-piece. I thought two-piece was like the, tankini. That's what I thought two pieces were. And so just for the guys out there, when you hear two-piece, that's a bikini. Is it not?
I see where your head was.
And one of the things that we also wanted to remind our girls, especially around modesty, is like, hey, this isn't, yes, there is a responsibility in the way you dress, and this is for Drew also in the way we act and in the things that we do, because what we want to do is we want to point people to Jesus, not away from Jesus. And so, but also, I mean, I'm just going to speak frankly. It doesn't matter what girls wear. Guys can look at them in a way that's unhealthy for them. And, you know, and so we didn't want to put the burden on them of like, hey, you can't wear a two-piece because a guy can't handle looking at you in a two-piece. See, now I'm even calling it a two-piece. We didn't want to put that burden on them. Like, that is that young man's responsibility. But we have a responsibility to what we are exemplifying. Are we pointing people to Jesus or not? And so that's more than what it's about, and Molly and I will still have to work through that. They do wear very modest two pieces. Oh, yes. Oh.
I have a son. He's still very young, but I'm curious, especially because you have both, how did you address
just like knowing that kids are talking about things even earlier than like I remember? And I'm in a middle generation, I would say, right, in comparison. But like, how do you think about that? How do you talk about that? I would love any advice there. I'm a ways away, I feel like, but then I'm also like, maybe it's not that far away. And yeah, like how early you start talking about what boys are talking about, how they're learning, you know, how to treat women, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I'll start. One is start talking about how God creates us and be open about that at age-appropriate levels. And what a healthy relationship around sex looks like, and what unhealthy relationships look like. And that could mean just the physical act of it or the verbalization of it. Because most of the time when they're talking about it, especially generally when they're hearing it, they may not even understand what they're hearing. They're just hearing it, and then it's an awkwardness. But when you have that openness, and then the idea of like, hey, we will ask our kids questions about what they're experiencing and what they're hearing, and we try and be an open, as honest as we can, and understanding that we are probably we are probably further behind, like they, like wherever it is, like we wanted them to learn about, hey, you know, God's design for sex and what sex is. We wanted them to hear about it from us and not from the playground, if you will. And so we had those conversations earlier, and then age appropriately, about the time they were 13, we would take them on a passport to purity weekend.
I never got that, by the way.
That was because of COVID.
Yeah, it was COVID year. You got something, though, didn't you? Oh, we'll take you on it. You want to do it right here?
I would say, too, when our kids would ask questions, we would generally say, I'm so glad you asked. Like, thank you for asking. I'm so glad you came to us. Thank you for asking. Even though we might be dying inside of embarrassment that this is what's been said or this is the question they've asked. But we always, we tried not to give them more information than they really had asked for. We tried to keep it high level unless they were going in for the deeper questions. But we did also use a resource called God's Design for Sex or Sex by God's Design, and it has different books for different age appropriate. And they actually, the younger book, they enjoyed as kids, because having both boys and girls, especially having the boy last, we wanted the girls to know, like, he's different. His body makeup is different. He's designed differently than you guys are, so that they weren't, well, we didn't know he was a boy, but when he came, then we were able to say, okay, he's different, and this is why, because God designed him differently, and he's got different body parts. So, yep. Yeah.
You guys want to add anything to that on how we created a healthy environment to talk about that?
I would say, like, in high school years when, like, drinking became a topic that people were talking about, my parents set a good example of, like, my dad specifically, like, doesn't drink, and so that was just never something that I desired to do, but, like, I knew it was something that, like, other teenagers would desire to do because, like, they set the example of, like, walking and, like, not drinking all the time, and, like, also telling me that, like, other people do that, and, like, it's something of the world, and, like, they prepared me for that those conversations, because it was hard when, like, friends would start to, like, want to do that more, and I was like, I don't really want to do that. But I think they, like, set a good example in that way. Yes, definitely more in college.
And one of the things when they were younger, we would role play with them. Like, if they were having an issue with something or something was coming up, it annoyed them to no end. They're like, oh, we'll be your friend. And then we would try and help them process through conversations that they were having and whatever the difficulty they were.
What's your dating rule?
I'm sorry?
What's your dating rule?
Oh, dating rule. What's our dating rule?
I don't even know if we have... What is your dating rule?
You have a dating rule. Okay, how did you keep them from idolizing dating? That's a great question.
I think just, like, making it clear that, like, my identity was never going to be in what a guy said about me. And, like, I feel like a lot of girls do struggle with that, and that honestly has never really been something that I, like, was like, oh my gosh, I need this person to like me. Like, I just didn't really care, and I think it's because, sorry.
That was me.
Oh.
Sorry.
I think it's because of the, like, example they set, and, like, also in their marriage of, like, they love each other well, and, like, that's something I want in a future marriage is, like, just two people who love each other, and, like, it doesn't have to be, like, oh my gosh, I need to date to, like, be loved. Like, I'm loved by, like, my friends and things, and I don't know.
Yeah. And by Christ.
But, yeah.
Molly, how would you answer that?
I don't even know, honestly.
Yeah, and I think what you're hearing from our kids is, like, we don't have a rule. We have conversations. Yeah. That's basically what you're hearing from them. And the same thing would go, like, Molly, what's your curfew?
I don't know.
The same thing. And so there's an expectation. For example, you know, there'll be an expectation of when Molly or Paige or when Drew gets his license, when he needs to be home. You know, what's funny is they're always home earlier than we would expect them to be. And we also have, like, if they would call at the 11th hour and say, hey, I want to sleep over at somebody's house. Or we're like, hey, that's a conversation we should have had earlier. That's not a conversation to have at 11:15 or 11:30. And so that's when you're like, ah, you're seeing them say, I don't know, it's because we don't have a rule. We just have conversations about stuff like that. Is that accurate, kids?
Okay. I would say when she and a friend kind of started pursuing each other.
A boy.
A friend that was a boy. We had conversations around that. And knowing the boy, knowing his family, David talked with him, just having conversations to build that trust with that child who, or that boy who would be taking our daughter out, as well as the trust we have of our own children. And there's just really not been another person that's come along yet, so that's TBD of what that looks like.
And the responsibility we want our kids to know, and we want if anybody is going to ask our kids out, or Drew's going to ask anybody out, is like, hey, you're potentially asking out somebody's future spouse. And so how do you want your future spouse to be cared for? And you want them to be honored and cared for and treated with kindness on a date, because most likely in high school you're not dating your future spouse. And so that's what I'll share. It's almost, is it, Sarah's almost time?
I think so.
Yep.
I think you've got a couple minutes left.
Couple minutes. Yeah. Does anybody, oh, Will.
For the kids, what is, Lord willing, when you guys have your own kids, what is something that your parents did that you're like, I want to copy that, I want to do that with my kids in the future?
I think I know the answer. I'm gonna see if I hear it.
Honestly, a lot of what they did, just like family dinners and like time, like, spent intentionally together, and then also, like, we would have, like, daddy-daughter dates, like, they were talking about earlier, and I think those were, like, some of my favorite memories, like, before school, was just, like, going to get breakfast, and spending intentional time one-on-one, but also, I just feel like we did a lot of, like, family vacations, and we went to family camp our whole lives, and
ding, 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 that's the one I thought was going to be shared.
That is definitely something I want to do with my kids, because I have seen the, like, huge impact it has had on my life, and, like, it has been one of the, like, my favorite things of my testimony is, like, all the things I've learned there, so that's definitely something I want to do with my kids.
Yeah, definitely camp. Family camp, literally my favorite place on earth, and I just could go back, like, every second of every day, but, like, that, and definitely, like, in the mornings, like, getting up, and, like, some of my friends, they're, like, oh, my parents aren't even up, like, I don't see them in the mornings, but, like, getting up, and, like, being able to, like, start the day off, like, on a good note, like, with my parents, even though, you know, that's when a lot of fights happen in the morning, but it's okay, So, yeah, I definitely would say that getting up early, being intentional, like, yes, you're losing sleep, but honestly, like, just the times when my mom would just, like, fill up my water, like, it's just, like, a sweet little thing, but it goes, like, a long way, so.
I would say, like, the phone verses, I like that, even though I haven't done them, but I like them. And sports teams, got to keep it in Dallas.
Well, what would you say, Robin?
I definitely think that the family camp was super. We didn't know that it was going to be something that we would do for this long, but it just is such a great time, even different than a family vacation, because at family camp, the counselors are building into your kids. You're getting fed as husband and wife, and then you're getting to also spend time as a family. And you don't stay in a cabin with other people. You stay in a cabin with just your family. So one caveat, because we wouldn't probably want to do that. But family camp has really been, we look forward to it every year. We actually started when Paige was three and Molly was one. So we did not even have Drew when we first started going.
Paige wants to share something.
I was on staff this summer, and it's not just been something that's, like, cool for our family, but it was cool to see the ways that other families have been impacted by family camp, and, like, there is something so different about the way that those parents, like, have parented their kids, and, like, I would say most kids are very comfortable sharing hard things with their parents, and it's, like, a cool dynamic to also just get to witness from the outside of, like, seeing other parents parent their kids and, like, learning from them, too.
Also, like, going to family camp, not only was I, like, spending time with my family, but also, like, I met some of, like, my favorite people I've ever met. So, like, yeah, it definitely, like, builds in relationship of friends and also, like, builds your family relationship and gives, like, it gives you, like, Christ-centered relationships. I definitely can attest to that.
I would also say the student ministry here. Starting in sixth grade, our kids all started in small groups. And the leaders have been instrumental in building into our kids. And just even though they are saying mostly the same thing we are saying to our kids, for our kids to hear it from someone that's closer in age to them, that's been huge. So partnering with your church and the youth group, the student ministry here is awesome. So shout out to you guys back there.
That's right. And a lot of them are here supporting
their kids. We are thankful for that.
We are very thankful. So.
Okay, I think we're out of time. It's 11:15.
Okay, so it's time to go to breakout number 3.
Thank you, guys.
So thank you, guys. You.